This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's episode, we're going to be drinking William LaRue Weller, a weeded bourbon, vintage 2015. But before we get to that, let's get down to just a little bit of business. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would do us a favor and hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts app or iTunes. And while you're there, you can leave us a rating and a review. And you can do that pretty much anywhere that you get your podcasts, whether that be Google Play or Stitcher. Wherever you're at, it's appreciated. Also, if you want to help the podcast grow, maybe buy us a bottle to try. You can visit patreon.com/chillfiltered. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Cole, my dear friend.
Wow.
How are you?
What a compliment. I'm so dear.
Yeah.
I'm well. I had a great week this week. It's towards the end of the semester, closing up, and I had this big exam. And I was like, I might very well fail this course because I'm not getting this material. It's just not clicking for me. Plus, I had spent most of the whole semester trying to do interviews and try to be able to find a job. And that put me a little behind.
Sure.
So it was almost understandable that I was not everything wasn't clicking because I wasn't able to fully immerse myself in just that material. Took the exam on Thursday this week. And I did pretty well, like not amazing, but enough to save my, you know, pass grade probably, which is, you know, all that matters at this point in my semester. I do want to work hard and do well, but I do have a job lined up already. So yeah, that's the nice stuff.
Let me ask you this, not doing well on any of the exams that you have coming up, can that affect the job you have lined up?
No, in part of my mind, I just want to be able to say, like, if for some reason I got let go or laid off or something like that, I really want to be able to rely on the fact that I finished this program.
Yeah.
And grades don't matter too much, but just the fact that I got the certificate that of the program that I'm in just means something just in case.
Yeah.
So I want to do that just for the sake of that. But yeah. I also, you know, I like to have some sort of principle in me that says, you know, I'm going to work hard no matter what I do. So, so it's a little scary being so far behind, but I was really happy to get that. Like I got the grade the day of and I'm like, dang. So I was excited.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We should let listeners know that, you know, this is coming out, I think December 3rd,
yep.
But we are recording way early because of the fact that you're moving.
Yeah.
We're trying to bank a lot of episodes. Just because we don't know, you know, we plan to continue this. We just don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And it kind of like, if we can have a bunch that are...
Cushion room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While we try and figure out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the week that you are moved, we don't have to scramble to try and be like, okay, what's the best way to do this and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but you are getting closer to your move date. Any more... I don't know, weirdness or whatever.
We haven't started packing yet, but we're probably just going to start to pack the unessentials pretty soon. We got a lot of boxes from our last move, so it's going to be official, you know, soon when the boxes start piling up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more looking into apartments or whatever there?
Yeah. So we are, my job is in Chandler, Arizona, which is just southeast of Phoenix.
Yep.
And it's more of a suburban area. And we were looking into maybe living in Tempe or Mesa, which is a little bit east of Phoenix.
Okay.
But we realized that like we might very well like Chandler, even though Tempe and Mesa are a little more young.
Okay.
And a little less suburban, but still like kind of, you know, hip and stuff. Hip and wit it, as the kids say.
Oh, I don't know those kids.
No, yeah, I don't know. I like to think. We might very well stay in Chandler, which is close to my job for one, but it's also like we're starting to settle down a little more and we're hoping to have kids in the next few years. So it might be okay to living in a little semi-suburban area. So
yeah,
that's kind of what we're looking at right now is an apartment, at least for the first year. And then we'll see about buying or you know, getting our own place.
So. Sure.
Yeah, what about you? How's things going?
Things are good. Life is good.
Yeah?
No complaints right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been doing... I mean, we've talked in the past episodes about like a level of depression. Has that been better, worse, same?
It's been better.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So
works. You're still getting good marks on your latest thing.
Well, I wasn't getting good marks.
I mean, yeah, but you're starting to
be better.
I'm
so
glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What else is new? You liking this time of year in Madison?
I hate this time of year. Mm-hmm. It was...
Yeah.
20 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
Last night, and it was just horrible.
Like 3 days ago, it was like averaging around 40, 50. Yeah. And now it's like,
It's supposed to be 40 something.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know. I just hate this time of year because it's like back and forth, back and forth, like in between the, going back and forth from super freezing to like mildly cold.
And even snowed yesterday morning.
Yeah. Which was Thursday evening into Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was.
I don't like snow.
I pay attention to the weather, so I was smart and parked in the garage that night. So
that's a good idea. I did not pay attention when I woke up the next morning. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah, it's really annoying to me. There's no snow in Phoenix. Although there was in 2013, apparently, and the most recent year besides that was like 1937.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's great. And I bet you the city shut down in 2013.
Probably for a week after the snow melted.
Well, here's the thing. They probably got half an inch.
Oh,
And people were like, I have no idea what to do. And
do I step on this stuff or will it kill me?
Yeah. But no, life is good. I had a meeting yesterday with a guy about producing a podcast for him.
A guy that reached out based on Mortarbox Media?
A guy that reached out because he listens to one of the other podcasts.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it's a guy that I've known my entire life, basically. Yeah. But he's got two shows that he wants to do, and I'm for sure going to be helping him with one.
Nice.
And he'll probably come here to record it.
Yeah.
He's got a little studio set up with just a single microphone at his house. One of the podcasts is just going to be him talking. So he can do that one there. He may need some help with editing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other one is going to be interview based and it's probably going to be like over video. So like the fact that we have the TV in here and stuff set up for video. That should be good.
You're like a consultant. Actually, you literally are a consultant. You know?
I've consulted on many podcasts. Mm-hmm. This is just the first one that's actually going to pay me to do it.
Amen to that.
So, that's going
to
start up pretty quick, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's great.
He wants to get moving on it and get it released. And
you're here to help.
Yeah, I'm a little overwhelmed just because of everything that he wants to have done on the podcast that he wants to do. And so there's some stuff that I need to learn.
Okay.
I need to get better with being able to do video podcasting.
We can help you practice.
Yeah, I don't know that we can because there's a specific... He wants to be able to have the video of the person be clean, stuff that I have. I can't plug a video source into my thing and like have it like switch between that. So I'm not sure how it's gonna go. But regardless, he's gonna pay me good money
to
help him do a podcast. So that's that's what I want to be doing.
I hope a lot of people are gonna be paying you good money.
Yeah, me too. I may have to quit some of my podcasts if enough people are like, hey, we want you to do ours.
Yeah. So, hey, I mean, there's a level of priority sometimes.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, but yeah, life is good. And I'm excited to record some today with you and drink some today with you.
I am super excited about this drink today.
I know you are. It's your baby.
Yeah.
It's one of your many whiskey babies.
One of my
few
babies, yeah.
So what do you say we take a break?
Let's take a break, everyone.
What do you say we take a quick break? Back from break here on Chill Filtered, and like I said before break, we are drinking the William LaRue Weller Vintage 15. It's a weeded bourbon, is my understanding, and that's about as much as I know about it. So before we drink, Cole, maybe you could tell us a little bit more about this bourbon.
Yeah. I actually wanted to start on the topic of the distillery, or rather the original distillery, right? These days it's made by Buffalo Trace, but previously it was made by Stitzel Weller. Really interesting history of Stitzel Weller, and there's like
I had a grandpa
following.
Named Stitzel.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Was it a pH stitzel, perchance?
That's right.
You're like, no, it wasn't, because I did not have a grandfather.
Yes, little did you know that I am the grandson of the grandfather of whiskey. Or,
that would be epic. Yeah, right. Actually, did I ever tell you this? You ever heard of Popcorn Sutton?
Yeah.
My wife is related to him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's something of distilling legends. So anyway, Stitzel Weller Company was originally founded in 1935. This was a merger of two distilleries, two companies. There was the W.L. Weller Company and Sons. So it was W.L. Weller and Sons. And then there was the APH, Arthur Phillip or something, Stitzel Distillery. Mm-hmm. And so both companies were selling medicinally through Prohibition at the time. And Prohibition ended in 1933. But not a lot of distilleries were able to do that. So they were very fortunate to still be producing, even during the worst time in American history.
The worst time?
Yeah.
You think Prohibition is the worst time in American history?
For whiskey, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Which is what matters.
Okay.
Yeah, totally matters.
Never mind racism and internment camps for Japanese Americans.
This only made it worse, all those things.
Okay.
So three guys built the distillery, together. And there was the Arthur Phillips Stitzel, who I said. There was another guy named Alex Farnsley. And then there was a dude named Julian Van Winkle Sr.
Oh.
And I don't know if he was a senior at that point, but he would be soon to come, if you know what I mean. He had a son.
I got you.
Yeah, cool. when Stitzel and Farnley died, Julian Van Winkle actually took over and eventually passed the business down to his son, Julian Jr., which is kind of cool because Julian Jr. is still alive.
Julian. Okay.
Yeah. And so actually the company itself and the brand itself was sold a bunch of times. From the 60s to the 90s, it was just sold all over the place. But in the end, the Weller and Van Winkle brands were both acquired by Sazerac Company, which owns Buffalo Trace. And so Buffalo Trace produces both of those brands now. But there are some crazy legends about the Stitzel Weller Distillery. You ever heard of the name Stitzel Weller?
No.
So people would come into the bar I worked at all the time, and they're like, do you have any... do you have any original Stitzel Weller juice? Because in a lot of ways, Stitzel Weller, when they closed down the company, people just say this juice is the greatest whiskey that comes out of what was aging in that distillery.
Yeah.
And I don't even get it so much. I mean, how can that be so great? But people would come in and say, do you have anything that was original Stitzel Weller juice? And I'd be like, sadly, we don't. Actually, I take that back. I have to consider, I think Old Blowhard by Orphan Barrel might have been original Stitzel Weller juice, or at least some part of it.
Okay.
Which is a 26-year-old bourbon. I can't confirm that, but I want to say it was. Some other bottles, I believe Michter's, 25s have been, no. I do know that Blade and Bow.
Let's only say what we know for sure.
So one example is Blade and Bow, their original release of their 20 something year. I believe it was a 22 year. They said this was original Stitzel Weller juice, but then Blade and Bow, their standard thing, said made in the what did they say, the style, or rather not even sure. the legend of Stitzel Weller, which means nothing in terms of they didn't do anything that made that special besides say that on the label. But it's got legends around it. I know people that say there's nothing anywhere near the taste of anything from Stitzel Weller, which is crazy that it shut down if it had that popularity. Wanted to talk. So that's the distillery and kind of the background, at least Stitzel Weller. The man, William LaRue Weller, born in 1825 and started his own liquor company, but was originally the legitimate, and what I mean by legitimate is legal producer of bourbon that was weeded mash. So mostly corn, the remainder is mostly wheat, and then the rest is, in this case, would be malted barley.
Okay.
Most people did rye, if not mostly rye, but he did no rye, which is kind of cool. And he was one of the notable people that, and apparently sold really well because it's a little more, eat your corn pops or eat your Wheaties. Wheaties are a little more tame. Corn pops are definitely a lot more sweet. And if you eat a rye cereal, that kind of... makes it a little more spicy, I guess. And so it shows up in the whiskey as well. Now let's talk about the bottle.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I want to talk at the end of this, all the awards just by Jim Murray in the last 5 or 6 years. But before I get to that, wheated bourbon, anything from Weller brand is a wheated bourbon. You've never seen a rye bourbon or even a rye whiskey from the Weller brand. It is all wheated bourbons. Mm-hmm. And that's just what they're known for. And even the history, we talked about the man himself. So this has been on the antique collection by Buffalo Trace since 2005. William LaRue Weller is known for is usually about 12 years aged, and it is always barrel proof, at least the William LaRue Weller. If you get the WL Weller or the Weller Antique, they're not going to be barrel proof.
Yeah.
But this one is always going to be barrel proof. And in this case, the 2015 release was a 12 years and 3 months aged. And it was 134.6 proof. I think this breaks our record on the show.
Okay.
And this one was distilled in spring of 2003 when I was in middle school. And just had to put that out there. And this has, evaporation loss.
Yeah.
Like what was there originally and then what was removed by evaporation was 72.3%. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I love that. So, and then the mash, they actually give the mash a bill.
Stop for a second. Yeah, we can tell our listeners here. I forgot to mute the upcoming break music.
But you're able to take that out easily.
I muted it just now, but it might come all through on our headphones.
And, for sure.
And it was very clear that both you and I were like, oh, what's going on?
I'm like, keep it together, Cole. No, it's all good. So the mash bill.
We're professional.
Oh, we're good at this.
Yeah.
Majority. They don't give the exact mash bill, but they give the grains that went into it. So we can tell it's the majority corn. And it's Kentucky corn. The majority of the remainder was North Dakota wheat, and then the very ending remainder, like whatever's left over, was North Dakota malted barley. But let's talk about these awards. Just gonna mention Jim Murray's awards since 2013.
Sure.
2013. Liquid Gold Award, 97.5 points. That's like, you can't break that. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never even seen a bottle get 98 points. 2013 as well. This is all Jim Murray. Best Bourbon, no age statement. 2013, just the Bourbon of the Year. 2014 didn't make the cut, but 2015 got the Bourbon of the World, or Best Bourbon in the World. And this is what we're drinking today, is the 2015. 2016 won the Bourbon of the Year. 2017 won the Bourbon of the Year, but it was based on the release we're drinking, the 2015 release today.
Okay.
2019, it won the Bourbon of the Year, and then this year, it won the World Whiskey of the Year, the number one whiskey
on Jim Murray's. You just said 2019.
So it goes a year ahead. It's like it's like those awards that say,
I got
like,
you.
Yeah. So even this year, it won the best the best whiskey in the world.
Yeah.
By Jim Murray, at least.
Yeah.
This is, if I were to just guess, this is the most awarded bourbon of all time, at least within the last 15 years.
Sure.
It's incredible. I love it. I won't give away the notes yet, but I find this one to be spectacular and a little different. You'll catch a few notes.
Oh, I just find this one to be spectacular just a little bit different.
A little tittle. And what was the...
I actually have found that that's actually a commonly used...
A tot? What was the... Was it a
tot?
Yeah,
tittle and a tot.
Tittle and a tot.
Yes.
Yeah. So. You do a much better Scottish accent than I do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. What do you say?
You just got to do Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, that's just Scottish.
It was a run by fruiting.
Yes, you say that's your favorite line from that movie.
Or, quick call, think of another quote from that movie. No, I got nothing.
I got nothing either.
You want to take a break and then sip?
No, let's just keep going.
Let's do it.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Cole, we don't.
Come on, Cole.
There's a format that
we have. A due process.
Yes. Fourscore and 27 years ago.
That's a process.
is that how that speech goes? Fourscore and 7 years ago? Yeah. Our forefathers.
What does that have to do with?
To make a new nation. Well, we're talking about due process. I don't know.
That has nothing to do with due process.
Well, I mean, our legal system in our nation is about due process and blah, blah, blah.
I'm just talking about the Declaration or no, the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's not the Emancipation Proclamation either.
That's the
Gettysburg Address.
Dang, we're all over the
Four
place.
Score. Anyway, yeah, let's take a break. Once again, back from break here on Chill Filtered, and it is time that we stop talking about this whiskey and we drink it. So, Cole, I don't know why you're just sitting there looking at it, but...
Well, I gotta explain why there's not gonna be a cork pop today, because a shout out to Trevor Priday, who offered us a little bit of his bottle that actually we achieved while writing WhiskeyGoals.com.
Do you want to explain why there's no sound? You just said, let me explain why, and then said, shout out to Trevor.
Yeah, so. Sample. Oh my goodness, that smells great. Sample bottle, no cork today. Yeah, so
it's just, we don't have a full bottle. We just have a little bit.
Yep.
So, pretty dark whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, 134 proof is pretty strong.
Yeah.
No cutting this sucker.
Sure.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Let's take a little sniff. Sniff. What do you say? Oh, I'm just, even from this distance, I'm getting a really nice Werther's caramel, almost like toffee.
I can understand that. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, settle down.
This is so good. I just sniffed it. It's amazing.
It actually smells pretty medicinal to me.
I have not gotten the nose burn in months.
Seemed like you... I almost thought maybe you got some in your eyes.
No, it was that strong that my eyes watering off of this sniff. But it's pretty strong, and you can really even get the proofage just by sniffing it. Yeah, a little medicinal, for sure. I'm getting a little bit of apples.
Not me at all.
Yeah? What are you getting all together? Just medicinal?
I get a little bit of that caramel that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Get a little bit of a Sharpie marker.
Yeah, I actually am too, but it is, I've never had in a long time that level of alcohol, like vapor, you know, just like really nailing the nostril hairs and my nose.
I wonder if being confined to a little bottle like that has an effect.
I'm wondering myself, yeah. I mean, these bottles are known to be very... you know, being glass, they don't offer any flavoring typically, but yeah. There is, you know, you never know. Whenever I get little sample bottles, I make sure they're glass and not like plastic or little flasks or metal or anything like that.
Stainless steel is not going to alter the taste at all.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But I don't believe that.
I don't believe it fully because all steel has a little bit of oxidation.
I'm getting a very... a cooking smell. You know, I think it's the caramel. It's almost like melted down caramel.
Or like browned butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually a great note.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a sip while you talk a little more.
Well, I don't have much else to say. I like the darkness of the color. That always gives me more faith in a whiskey. So, but yeah, there's a hint in the nose that I can't quite put my finger on. But
that is, the mouthfeel is very, it coats your tongue quite a bit. How runny are my eyes right now? That's how strong it is. I mean, you see the tears lining my eyelids?
Mm-hmm.
It's so strong. Yeah, you're getting a burn there. Mouthfeel is very, like it definitely coats your tongue and you feel it. It's almost like it's like a wax that solidifies on your tongue when you sip it. Take it slow. We're going to actually with water, it's going to really change.
Oh
on this.
My gosh.
So strong.
It burns so much.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do to prevent that burn. Like even if you do the method.
No. Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
And
you're getting tears in your eyes.
A tiny little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like a wuss right now.
I know. Me too. Really great notes. A little bit of earthiness.
I get cinnamon.
Oh, great note. Yeah. Yeah. Very strong cinnamon. Like almost just like. You know, when you pour a little bit of cinnamon on top of your, latte or something, you know, maybe not a latte, but
no, I got what you mean.
Very much that, dry cinnamon taste.
It's reminding me of toasted pineapple with cinnamon on it.
That's cool. I like that. I get a little earthiness, a little bit of grassiness, but not like the Whistle Pig rye we had tenure.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I'm getting that on the finish.
Yeah, very much on the finish. I'm going to go for another quick sip before I add some water.
I don't know that I can do another one.
Mm.
I'm going to go ahead and add some water. Couple drops. Droppy poos.
I mean, it's really powerful.
I'm going to try it one more without the water.
Yeah, it's really powerful. But the biggest note I'm getting is an earthy caramel. very, like, it's very, I don't know. I want to say it's not grassy in a, like, a botanical way, but it is a little earthy and, like, just, but it's good.
It is much easier if you take the littlest sip.
Yeah.
Ever.
I agree, actually. I just did that time. Mm-hmm. I'm really intrigued about this water part.
You want two drops?
Two
you
drops,
want one?
Please.
Two, you said?
Yes, please. All right. Mixing it around. And of course, this is being so, it says uncut, unfiltered on the bottle,
yeah.
Which we don't have in our hands, but the two variations of the cask strength bourbons of the antique collection, this and George T. Stagg, are both uncut, unfiltered. Do you know how much we sold this for at the bar per pour?
$700.
Nah, it was about, I think it was like 140.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, every year it like wins bourbon of the year. It's just crazy.
You know, I... Okay.
Ooh, the nose, much more caramel. Like, and
I get now cinnamon on the nose. I didn't get it on the nose before. I only had it in the mouth.
I'm only getting caramel. It smells better.
Yeah,
to be honest.
It smells really good.
Mm. So,
a little easier?
Much easier. Much better. It is better. I do think there is something to be said about a neat pour in its purity in one way, but in terms of taste and palate.
There's a butter. I think that's, you know, you talked about.
Like a brown butter.
Even just straight butter almost.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'm catching that. Yeah, just.
But I haven't had the taste yet, so we'll see.
Almost like a salted, creamy kind of butter.
Gotta love that salted cream.
Yep. The notes change a little bit. That earthiness is not as much there.
So much easier.
It is
easier.
Sweeter. A lot sweeter. And it, I mean, when you get a wheated bourbon, they're always very sweet. What are you thinking?
It was so much easier with that water.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get a real hot whiskey like that, it's almost impossible to get a real good note on it. Like,
yeah.
All you can focus on is that burn.
Yeah.
Dropping a cube.
Ooh, my tongue is still burning.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. But that sip with that water in it definitely allowed me to taste more. And I'm just, really, it's cinnamon and caramel.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, but it's powerful.
Yes.
Like no other, you know, I believe this is the same mash bill as Eagle Rare.
Okay.
The 17 and the 10 year. But it is powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. I mixed that up with Stag. No, it has nothing to do with the Eagle Rare mash. It has to do, you know, you had Weller 12 that one time.
I was going
to
say,
yeah.
I didn't think that.
For a second, I thought we were drinking George T. Stagg, and I'm like, yes, I know all about this. No. We had Weller 12 together, and that was very sweet, very palatable, very, like, just very smooth. This is much more power to
that
it.
That ice, to me, makes it smell sweeter.
Yeah, I'm getting no, it's very sweet, candy sweet, I'm getting off of this nose. I'm really intrigued. You see that murkiness in there? It's really murky. Yeah.
Much more syrupy with that ice in it.
Viscosity wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to take a stronger sip.
I just blew into the microphone because it's still a little hot on my tongue. This has changed it a lot for me.
Quite a bit. It is still powerful.
Hmm.
I mean, 134 proof is something special.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm going to say something bold here that disagrees with Jim Murray. I still prefer Eagle Rare 17 over this.
Yeah.
Being in the antique collection as well. And I actually have had better stags than this.
Stag Juniors or
seniors.
George C. Stagg?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is... very good. Don't get me wrong, this is fantastic. But if we're gonna say what the best whiskey in the world is, I am not gonna say this. But maybe for the year, I don't know. Although I can't say that because I've had the 2015 Eagle Rare 17, and I love a good barrel proof whiskey. In fact, a bourbon is just amazing. But there's something to be said about a Gruyere 17 to me.
This is kind of getting a little bitter the more it's sitting in ice.
Yeah, you're getting that like sour bitter at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. I enjoyed it. I don't think I would... I don't think that this would be like my grail whiskey that
For sure.
You know, like, you know, the BTAC's coming out and I got to get that. William LaRue Weller.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know I've said this on the last couple episodes. I bet this would be great in cocktails.
No. Oh!
I bet you it would be.
This is too special for a cocktail. But don't get me wrong. It would be good.
I actually think it would be amazing in cocktails.
Would you buy it and use it in cocktails, though?
If you got your hands on it,
you would mix it.
I would prefer it in cocktails, I think.
That's crazy. Do you know how much this the bottle...
It's just too strong for me.
It is.
And that's coming from somebody who likes hotter whiskeys.
Also, one thing I noticed is that it's pretty, for the neat pour, or like when we were drinking a neat, it was very dry compared to most wheated bourbons.
Huh.
Like most wheated bourbons are very sweet, but I found on the neat sip we took, it was pretty potent in a dry way, not too sweet at all. But then when we added water and ice, it got sweeter.
I did it dry way. Yeah, I would have gotten there. You didn't have to interrupt the song.
Well, call. I was like, wait, that's Sinatra. I know that. Let me say it out loud.
Yes, I will admit. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Rating, perchance?
You go ahead with yours.
8.7. No, 8.6. Yeah, I'm not going to give it that high.
I'm not going to give it that high.
Yeah.
7.3.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean... It is not something I would sit around and sip. I got to be honest.
I feel like I would pull it out only on very special occasions with people that very much appreciate the Weller brand. Also, I forgot. I never finished that thought of the secondary market value of this bottle. At least 600, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere from 6 to 8.
I'm sure. Never pay that for this. I would pay retail on it. But
I'd pay retail.
What is retail?
$80. Well, these days it's $100. Okay. But that specific year was $80.
Yeah.
That's what I paid for it.
But
what up?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd pay $100 for it, but I honestly would probably mostly use it for cocktails.
Oh.
And make like really incredible cocktails with it.
My heart is like
why?
Drawing back.
Why?
This
why so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is the limit for cocktails for you?
Oh.
Why not 80? Use really good why? There's, like listen, like, so listen, I, if like you don't how, if you don't enjoy this straight, but you know it's going to be great in cocktails and you can afford to buy it, like why not?
So if I'm going to get a barrel proof weeded bourbon, I'm going to get Maker's Mark cask. Okay. And then I'm going to mix that. And that would be, I think that would be even better in a cocktail.
I think this would be great in a cocktail. I really do.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Even as a Wisconsinite who believes in brandy old fashions, I would make an old fashioned out of it.
I just think, and it might sound petty, and I'm very willing to admit it, that this has a status to it. And I'm not about...
But don't you think that it adds to the status of the person to go, yeah, I'm going to use this
that's
in
like
my cocktail.
The, what do you call it? Like the Saudi princes that take a bottle of Van Winkle 23 and they pour it on the ground just to be special about it. I mean, that's a little like that.
No, it's not though, because you're still going to use it. Yeah. That's the thing is like, you make it sound like, by using it in a cocktail, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You make it sound like you're dumping it down the drain.
But I'm just saying that if I want to do a cocktail, I'm going to go with a similar product for less.
Sure. Great. But here's my point is you can't shit on somebody who, if they can afford it, is going to use this in cocktails. If that's how they're going to choose to use it.
I agree. But there's just something in the back of my mind that's saying you got to protect this thing.
I don't see it as not being protected. You're still using it.
And you're enjoying it.
You're still drinking it.
Yeah. It would just be really hard for me. But that's because of the status.
Here's the thing, Cole. Sure. Mm-hmm. If I bought this bottle, I did not enjoy it that much neat. I did not, I would not sip it.
Yeah.
but I have still spent the money already.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do with it? Leave it on my shelf and just let it look pretty? Because I'm never going to drink it neat again.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got a great point.
But I know from the tasting that I just did
yeah.
that it would be great in certain cocktails. And yeah. so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But, and I don't mean mixers. I'm not going to put Coke in this.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm
like
gonna...
you did with my favorite bottle.
Oh, come on.
That was fun. It actually turned out all right.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
So you said 8.5?
8.6.
8.6. Yep. I said 7.3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, if you guys want to drink this with us, good luck. It's super expensive.
Oh my goodness, finding a bottle would be crazy at 2015 vintage.
Yeah, you can find it this year for around 100. Cole is drinking the last few drops from the sample bottle he has. Like a
drops
maniac.
Are great.
Cole, do you know what we're drinking next week?
Next week we are going to be drinking Kentucky Al Rye Batch 11 or Batch 2.
It's an 11. Yeah, it's 11 year rye, yeah, not year right. 11.
Such a doofus.
What the hell? this is just one of those episodes where we're making mistakes.
Yeah.
We don't do it often, but
people
when
love
we do,
us, though.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Kentucky Owl.
Yeah.
And that's a rare bottle that's coming off of my shelf. Yeah. What I mean rare, I mean, we rarely have one of my bottles on the show. So
I'd say it's like 1 in 6 is your bottle. Maybe 1 in 5.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, what do you say we take a quick break? No, we're not going to take a quick break. The episodes that we do make mistakes, we just keep making them.
But it's beautiful.
What I meant to say is, it's time for Whiskey World News. All right, it's time for Whiskey World News, where here on Chill Filtered, we will read an article written by somebody else, posted on a different website, and we'll read it and maybe discuss it a little. But we never want to take the credit. We're always going to tell you where it's from, the title of the article, and who wrote the dang thing. So this week, we're reading an article from Barrons.com. That's Barrons, Barrons.com. Title of the article is, actually, I'll tell you who wrote it first. One of the greatest names I've ever heard in my life, Fang Block.
Nice.
Wrote this article.
Better than Nino Marchetti.
Don't say that. Don't be dissing somebody's name.
Nino Marchetti is a great name.
Good Lord.
It's not dissing.
Well, maybe a little bit is.
No.
You said better than Nino Marchetti, like it's a bad thing.
You know, Marchetti's a great name.
Oh, man. Anyway, the title of the article is American Whiskey Named World's Best for Third Straight Year. Maybe you've got a hint of who this will be.
Yeah.
William LaRue Weller by Kentucky-based Buffalo Trace Distillery was named World Whiskey of the Year, marking the third year in a row an American whiskey has claimed the top spot in Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible, a revered industry guide.
Yep.
American whiskey has been experiencing a boom both domestically and abroad in recent years. In 2017, the sale of American whiskey across the U.S. increased 8.1% or $252 million to $3.4 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. According to Distilled Spirits Council, a trade association representing the leading producers and marketers of distilled spirits in the U.S. Sometimes I just get really into that radio, like douchebag radio. By comparison, the sale of Irish whiskey in the U.S. was about $897 million. The weeded bourbon William LaRue Weller, distilled in 2005 and released last year, is soft and smooth with subtle flavors of caramel, marshmallows, and vanilla. It was named after William LaRue Weller, one of Kentucky's early whiskey pioneers, who was said to be the first to use wheat rather than rye in the mash bill. American whiskey is spelled with an E, unlike Scottish whiskey. I don't know why they threw that in there.
Wow.
William LaRue Weller, so this year's, I'm assuming they're meaning the 2018 release
here. Yes, that is correct.
Is 128.2 proof.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great example of the commitment to quality. This is a statement from Mark Brown. So William LaRue Weller, 128.2 proof, is a great example of our commitment to quality. It's an all-around great bourbon, and we think its bold flavor speaks for itself. Mark Brown, president and chief executive officer of Buffalo Trace Distillery.
What a great guy.
Told Penta. I don't know what Penta is, but
five
The whiskey is priced on average at $1,600 per bottle?
No. No, not at all.
I don't know.
Is that like the British pound or something?
No, it's US dollar.
Heck
it says.
No. I've never seen an antique collection bottle break more than 1,000 for the most part, except if it's 10 years old, like 10 years previous.
Yeah. I wonder where that number comes from. Anyway.
No idea.
Thomas Handy Sazerac. Mm-hmm. Thomas H. Handy. It's weird that they left off the H. Straight Rye, another whiskey from the family-owned company that dates back to 1773, was named the third best. Glen Grant, 18, a Scottish whiskey, was this year's runner-up. Demand for our bourbon is continuing to grow across the board. As more people discover the spirit, we think they appreciate the rich history and time-honored traditions that go into each bottle, not to mention the taste, Brown says. Mm-hmm. Additionally, it is also the second straight year that a Buffalo Trace whiskey topped the list. In 2018, so that would be the 2017 release.
That's correct. Yeah.
The distillery's Colonel E.H. Taylor 4-grain was picked as the world's best.
We drank that.
That's right. These wins are special to us because we hold Jim's palate in the highest esteem, but also because they are a testament to the skill and craft of the men and women of Buffalo Trace, who consistently produce the best whiskeys in the world, Brown says. Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible, in its 15th edition, evaluates and rates over 4,600 whiskeys around the world. Murray, a London-based whiskey critic, didn't immediately respond to requests for comment on his picks. In 2017, another American whiskey, Booker's Rye 13-year-old, a high rye at 68.1% rye, intense and spicy whiskey by Kentucky-based Jim Beam Distillery, was named World Whiskey of the Year. So I chose that article because I know we were going to be talking about William Larue Weller.
Yeah.
But, you know, America. I did not mean to do that. That is not me.
But, you know, America's the best.
America. It seems like America's, kind of got a handle on the whole whiskey thing going on. And that's kind of fun to see, I guess.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that actually Buffalo Trace themselves market themselves as the most award-winning distillery in the world. And in terms of the San Francisco Spirits competition or like the Whiskey Advocate competition or those kind of things, Buffalo Trace does win the most of the top awards.
Yeah.
Last year being the 4-grain, this year being the Weller. They do usually make the top three whiskeys of the year, usually. In fact, I read the Weller, William Larue Weller Bourbon of the Years, and pretty much out of the last, 5 or 6 years, we got five out of the last 6 years.
Wow.
Out of the last 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. But American whiskey is pretty awesome, and I do appreciate that. Jim Murray is a Brit, and he really, I mean, you would imagine
they giving would prefer, it up for America.
Yeah, he would prefer, you almost prefer he, the original whiskey would be Scotch or even like the Irish stuff or any of that.
But yeah.
He usually prefer, or last few years, he's preferred American whiskey, which is like, go America in terms of we've developed a great product.
Yeah.
Which I really respect.
I do like that America is on top of that. Mm-hmm. I talked in the Dave Pickerel episode about the fact that it's cool that rye, the original American whiskey, was about rebellion and kind of sticking it to the man. So that's why I'm excited that next week we're drinking an award-winning...
Another American brand.
Is it an award-winning? Should I say award-winning?
Oh, this is one award. Or at least the brand has won quite a bit of awards.
Yeah. But we're drinking a great American rye whiskey, Kentucky Owl Batch 2 11-year rye. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about that. It's probably my favorite rye right now.
It's a good one.
Do you know what proof it is?
101.8.
It's 101.8 proof.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. It is so good. There's more missing from my bottle than I would like to admit.
It's that great tasting night.
Yes, that night that I poured everybody like 2 ounces.
I was like, okay.
So that's what we're drinking next week, which will be I don't know, December 10th, December 10th. I guess. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like we said, these episodes, we're recording these in November, yep, to get as many as we can.
A little bit of a cushion.
Before Cole leaves. Mm-hmm. So that is what we're doing right now, and that's what we're doing next week. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.